Wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study in the Book of Romans, titled Wake Up. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get started.
Let's all turn to Romans 4, and I'm just going to read through it before we get into the study. I am reading out of the New Living Translation, so if it's different than yours, sorry. But if you've heard me speak before, you know that I'm like, this is how I would say it. I mean, you know what I mean. This is how I would say it. But so this is the one I like to read through. So if you're in a different translation, it might be easier if you just read. I mean, listen, we're off to a good start. Here we go. Verse 1. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What were his experience concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have had something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis at all for pride. I'm like, whoa, really? Really, God, he did some really awesome things, like way more awesome things than I would, but it levels out the playing field, doesn't it? Verse 3, for the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they receive, but people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their work. King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who is declared to be righteous. I love these verses. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose sin is no longer counted against them by the Lord. Verse 9, now then, is this blessing only for the Jews or is it for the Gentiles too? Well, what about Abraham? We've been saying he was declared righteous by God because of his faith. But how did his faith help him? Was he declared righteous only after he was circumcised or is it before he was circumcised? Well, we know he wasn't because it was before the law, so that shouldn't really play into anything. The answer is that God accepted him first and then he was circumcised later. The circumcision ceremony was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are made right with faith by God. Verse 12, and Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. We're halfway there. Take a deep breath. Verse 13, it is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on obedience to God's law, but on the new relationship with God that comes by faith. So if you claim that God's promise is for those who obey God's law and think you are good enough in God's sight, then you are saying that faith is useless. That's a really intense verse. And in that case, the promise is also meaningless. But the law brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. The only way to avoid it is to not know that you're breaking it. Verse 16, so that is why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it whether or not we follow the Jewish customs if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence what didn't exist before. Verse 18, when God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, Abraham believed him. Have we heard that already? Abraham believed God. Has that been anywhere in this chapter yet? God had also said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars, even though such a promise seemed utterly impossible. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though he knew that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100 and that Sarah, his wife, had never been able to have children, Abraham never, you should circle this verse or underline this verse, verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Verse 21, he was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything he promised. May that be true of us. Verse 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God declared him to be righteous. Now, this wonderful truth that God declared him to be righteous wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was for us too. Yay! Assuring us that God will also declare us to be righteous if we believe in God, who brought Jesus, our Lord, back from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. So that's kind of a long chapter. Maybe it just felt long for me because I'm hoarse. But we're going to talk about faith today. I find it interesting how easily we put faith in people. Think of some people that you put faith in. People's faces you've never seen. The pilot who's flying this huge steel tube, and you're trusting him to get you all the way to New York. Or even to Phoenix is just as dangerous. Or if you took a flight to like Ontario, California from here, still be just as dangerous. But you'd probably see his face because it'd be a smaller plane. But anyway, you've put trust in that pilot. You haven't seen his face. You don't even know his name. But we put faith in him that he's going to get us there safely. Who else do we put faith in? That just easily. The doctor. We trust that that certificate on the wall is not a lie, right? What about the bank teller? You're trusting that the bank teller is going to make sure that money gets into your account. It's not going to get lost on the way. Food. We trust that that organic sticker means organic. I don't think it always does, but that's another story. What about the wait staff? If you send your food back, you're hoping that there's nothing in your food that's not supposed to be there. So it's interesting that we put faith in people who fail us so easily, but sometimes it can be hard for us to place our faith in God. Does anybody else feel that way sometimes? Lord, why is it so easy for me to put faith in these people but not in you? The God who created us and loves us and has a plan for us, sometimes we have a hard time placing the faith that is required. That is not required. Hold on. It's there. That is proper in him. That's not the right word, but that'll work. So we're encouraged multiple times by seeing Abraham as a man of great faith and a man who obeyed God. And he really is an example for us to follow. So I wrote down Abe because I just kept calling him Abe the whole time I was studying this. You can write down Abraham if it makes you feel more Christian-like. Well, we know that he was a great man of faith, right? He's our example. We see him throughout Scripture. He's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews. He's here. He's in Genesis. And we see him do things that we might never do, right? He did whatever God asked him to do. Maybe you remember him walking up a mountain with nothing except his son and a knife. And God said, I will provide the sacrifice. Okay, if somebody said to you, hey, I want you to walk up this mountain with a knife and your child who you love and just walk up this mountain and I'll meet you there and I'll provide the sacrifice. You'd be like, wait a minute. Something's just not fitting here. It's like those Nigerian emails, you know? Like, have you ever gotten one of those? Or one that's nowadays they come from people you know, from names of people you know. I got one from, I think it was Barry Shepherd, like 6 years ago. And it was like, I'm in France and I'm stuck and I lost my passport and my money and I lost everything and I need you to send me money so I can get home. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I think I saw Barry at church the other day. So something just doesn't click. But he trusted God. He trusted God. Not for a second. Maybe he did in his mind, but we don't read that he questioned it. We don't read that he said, wait a minute, Lord, what are you talking about? Can you just give me like a little hint? I have two kids. One of them goes with the flow. The other one does not go with the flow. She needs to know the flow, okay? Well, Mom, where are we going after this? Well, what are we going to do there? How long are we going to be there? I am a go with the flow person. I am a, we'll figure it out, fly by the seat of my pants. It'll be fine. That's how I am. So my not go with the flow daughter, I have to understand that that's the way she works. And I need to give her at least a little bit of a hint of the flow. Babe, We're going here. I don't know how long we're going to be there, but that's where we're going. Okay? Just hang out with me for now. So we're all geared a little bit differently. But we see him completely trusting in God. And like the scripture that we just read gave, he trusted that God was going to give them a son, even though it was beyond, right? The age that they were supposed to. But even though we see all those things, this scripture says that all those things he did didn't really count for anything. All the good things didn't really count for anything except for the fact that they were based on his faith. His faith is what mattered in God. So our lives as Christians are to be based and rooted in faith. That's our first example. That's really what we need to follow. I need to have faith in God, regardless of what he asks me to do. Or even if you don't feel like there's a lot going on, have faith. That's the first thing. And without faith, why would we ever give our lives to God in the first place? Why would you be here if you didn't believe that this book is true? There would be no point for us to be in this room, right? Then we would be fly by the seat of our pants people like, I don't know what's going to happen in life, but I'm going to live as good as I can and hope I get to heaven if that's real. Can you imagine a life without faith? I remember going through a time in my life where I wasn't walking with the Lord and thinking, this is what it's like for people who don't know God. Empty and hopeless and hoping that you get somewhere, but not really knowing if you will or won't. Have you guys lived that at any point in your life? Do you ever want to go back to that? It's like floating through space, right? Hoping somebody will grab a hold or something will go right, but having no real guarantee. But faith is what draws us to God and makes us believe that he is bigger and that he has a plan. Hebrews 11:1, this is our definition of faith. Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. That's Hebrews 11:1, and that's the New Living Translation. So let's talk about faith. I wanted to have a whiteboard up here, and I completely forgot until Amber started worship, so I ran out of time. So you'll have to bear with me and maybe draw your own diagrams. When I thought of this scripture, I was sitting reading through it, and it made me think of a tree of faith. And it made me think of how a tree grows, how it starts, and where it ends up. So the first part of a tree is what? Roots. So if you want to write this down, or if you're more visual like I am, draw some roots of a tree, but leave a good amount of room. I mean, your page isn't this long. Leave a big space. Leave a good amount of space for you to draw a whole tree, and you're going to fill in some spaces. So it's up to you if you want to take notes and write the words, or draw like I would. Draw some roots. So the roots is faith. Look at verse 16. It says, that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it, whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. So even though we are not, we don't go through all of the old Jewish customs, we, the Gentiles, which is what we are, we get to have this promise too, which is awesome, right? So in your roots there, man, I really wish I had a diagram. In your roots there, write the word faith. That's where it all starts. You can't have a tree if you don't plant a tree, right? Doesn't it seem silly if you're like, I hope a tree grows there. I just, right there, a tree would be awesome, right there. Well, what do you have to do? You have to plant it. You have to buy some seeds or buy a little tree and stick it there, right? So it all starts with the roots. If there are no roots, nothing is going to grow. But so often we try to do the right things, right? So we can come to church, we can pray, we can read our Bible, we can do all those things without faith. There's plenty of people who do all those things without faith. They come to church, they do all those things because it's what they're supposed to do. Not because they believe really anything will come out of it, except that they'll feel better. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because there's lots of people who do that, right? I can go to the gym and work out and do these things and go home and eat a whole pizza. I can do all sorts of things with the wrong motives, not really believing that anything's going to come out of it. But I have to put the time in, right? I need to plant the seed of faith. You can't be righteous or effective if you have no faith. So let's move on. We're going to move up our tree to the trunk. So if you're drawing, draw a trunk. If you're writing, write the word trunk. Is it true that the English language is the most confusing language to learn? Because we have different words, like trunk and trunk. It's two different, yeah. So confusing. It is, I know. The struggle is real. Okay, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous. Now notice it doesn't say Abraham believed in God. This is a given. There's tons of people, who believe in God or in a higher being. Do you believe in me? Like, do you believe that I exist, that I'm here as a person, like I have arms and legs and I exist? Okay. But if I told you, I'm going to come to your house every Tuesday for the next 3 months with red roses, would you believe me? She would want to believe me, she says. I would want to believe I would do that too. I don't even know if I'm that dependable. I would want to, because you deserve red roses. But see the difference? You can believe that I'm a real human, but if I say I'm going to jump off the Empire State Building next week with a parachute, would you believe me? There's a difference between believing in someone and believing what they say. You see the difference? And that's what the scripture says, that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So there's a big difference. That's a small word, two letters, big difference. Again, going back to when Abraham walked up that mountain and God said, I will provide the sacrifice. He believed God. Believing in God is what gives us the faith, right? Moving on from that faith, we believe what he says is true. Believing him is what makes us move forward in our walk with the Lord, right? Believing that what he says, I will bring good to you, that anything that happens in our life is for our good. We believe that what he says is true and that he's true to his word and that none of his promises will go unmet. Have you had promises that the Lord has made to you in one way or another be met in your life? Doesn't that increase your faith? Do you see how they work together, faith and belief? It's like, it's kind of hard to separate the two. But you've got faith, which is, well, I believe that he's there. Now you believe what he says. You believe what he says is true and that he is going to be with you. The cool thing is that because of Abraham's belief and because he continued to go on with this, God spared his son's life. God gave him a child in his old age, right? This is the same child, right? But I love the fact that he just went and that the scripture doesn't say there was any question. And I think that as we mature in our life with the Lord, he brings us to a place where we can question less, where we can say, okay, you did it. I mean, some of those decisions are big, right? Lord, are you sure I'm supposed to homeschool my girls again? Yeah, and I'm going to be with you. And it's cool the way that the Lord blesses us and rewards us little bits along the way when we're doing what he's called us to do. Does that make sense? Have you seen that in your own life? Okay, good, good. I'm just making sure you guys are following me because I'm scattered sometimes. What has God done in your life to prove his trustworthiness? Can you say it in a sentence of like three or four words? He's faithful. Giving you peace. It's a big one. He's a provider. What else? Answers prayer. He loves us. He protects us. He leads us. The scripture says that he leads us and he hedges us in from behind. It's one of my favorites. You're surrounded and you're all good. It's okay. He leads us and he takes up the back. Just think about that. When you're going through a time where you're having a hard time believing that God really means what he says, look back at his track record, the track record that he's had in your life. Has he really ever left you? Sure, we have moments where we're like, God, I don't see you. But we can have the faith to say, I just need you to show me. Because we could say, I don't see you, so I guess you're not there. Or we can say, Lord, I don't see you. Can you show yourself to me? Can you reveal yourself to me? Remind me that you're here. So that faith is what makes us ask him, Lord, I know you're there. Please show me. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I want to read verses 20 and 21 one more time while we're on this. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything he promised. Are we? Are we absolutely convinced? I'd like to say I am, but there are times when I'm like, I don't know about this one. But really what we're saying is, this one might just be too big for you, God. Isn't that silly when you say it out loud, what your mind is really thinking? You're like, okay, so I'm totally making God smaller than he really is. And when we realize we're doing that, we're like, wait a minute, what am I thinking? He parted the Red Sea. He freed his people. He is able to do anything. And this thing that I'm wanting him to do in my life is no small thing, right? To me, but to him, it's easy. So having that faith, we can be absolutely convinced too, if we would have that faith and believe. Now, if you have faith, it causes you to believe that God means what he says, and believing what somebody says to be true because they've proven it makes you trust them. So draw a branch off the trunk of your tree, or just write the word down and write the word trust. So again, these are all steps. We have faith, we have believing God, now we have trust. They're all steps. What does somebody need to do to earn your trust? Is trust just given? Like you would bring somebody into your house randomly. If you saw somebody who was holding up a sign, would you say, why don't you come live in my house with my children and I? Would you do that? Why? You have to know them. You have to believe that they are going to be true to their word. And you have to have trust. And trust doesn't just happen, right? And when trust is broken, it has to be built back up, right? But God has earned our trust, don't you think? Because like we just said, he's shown himself again and again and again that he's trustworthy and that we can trust him. But that jump from believing what he says to trusting can feel like an ocean. Because now you're going from, yeah, I believe what God says. Well, will you quit your job and do this other thing he's asked you to do? Because you're thinking now about the ocean distance between where your bank account is now and where it may end up being if you quit your job. My point is that it feels like an ocean sometimes saying, I believe you can provide for me, God. But whoa, you want me to move where? We went to New Zealand when, how long ago was that? Probably like 4 years ago. I was asked to go out and do worship for a conference in New Zealand and Australia. I know it was awful. You can hug me later and comfort me over that. But it's cool where God leads you when you serve him. You can go anywhere. I decided when we went to New Zealand, I was going bungee jumping because that is where it originated and you can't go to New Zealand and not go bungee jumping. So we went to this bungee jumping place. So the bungee jumping, honestly, by the time we got there, I envisioned it. Have you seen all those movies where they're on a bridge and they dip their head in the water? Have you seen those? Everybody's like, so you wanted to do this, why? Because it looks fun and I'm in New Zealand and you only live once, YOLO. Hashtag. But so I wanted to bungee jump, but we got there and you were bungee jumping off a crane and it just didn't look as fun to me as bungee jumping over a river. But they also had an option to bungee swing. Okay, so it's like you could go two or three people. So my brother was there and he took my two girls with him and I went with Jesse, my husband. And so you basically get in this sleeping bag type thing and they bungee you from behind and they pull you slowly, 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 slowly all the way up. It's a crane. It's the same thing. But they pull you all the way up and I'm like, this is going to be so fun. Now, as I'm getting pulled up, I'm less and less thinking that this is a good idea. I don't have to do this in New Zealand. There's other things to do in New Zealand. I could pet a sheep. I could shear a sheep if I wanted to. Like, there's tons of other things I could do. So I'm going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Well, when you get to the top, you have to pull your own string to let yourself go. So the idea is you get pulled up on this crane, you get let go, you fall, and then you just swing. I wanted to find the video so bad. I'm going to find the video tonight. If you want to come back tonight, I'm going to show the video tonight. Find it tonight. It's on my list of things to do. I'm sure it'll get done. Maybe don't come tonight. Anyway, so we're pulled up, 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 up. We get to the top, and we have to pull that string. And we dropped, and you can hear me just, you know when you are on a ride and you can't really scream yet because you're like, you can't breathe, right? You're losing your breath. And then as soon as we dropped and we started swinging, you can hear me go from the scream to like this big belly laugh because it's like the best thing ever. It was so fun and so amazing. But it took a big leap to go from, I believe that cord could hold me, to go ahead and strap me in it. Pull me up. Go for it. Do you see what I'm getting at? There's a big jump between I believe that could hold me to I'm going to go ahead and test it to make sure and trust it. But think about all you miss out on when you don't trust. Now, you may not bungee jump. And that's okay. You don't have to bungee jump. Even if you go to New Zealand, I won't hold it against you. I haven't even bungee jumped really yet. I bungee swing. But think about those things in your life where if you hadn't trusted God, you wouldn't have been able to see the beauty in jumping. You wouldn't have been able to see those glimpses that he's given you along the way of proving himself again and again and again. Right? Because you've said, okay, Lord. Like that's the proof of your belief. The proof of your belief is, whatever my plans have been, I'm going to go forward with what you've called me to do. Whatever I've messed up on, I'm going to move forward saying, Lord, I trust that you still have me in your hand. You're still walking with me. Okay? Is anybody getting that? Have you had that happen in your life where you jumped from belief to trust and you were like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Oh, this is amazing. Because along the way, there are doubts. I can't say that there weren't a few doubts while I was being pulled up the little swing thing. Wait, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? But I would have looked back and been super bummed that I didn't do it. I had sea legs the rest of the day, like this, like everywhere I went. But the beauty was that I jumped and I loved it. So will you let yourself go from belief to trust and go for it? Because when you trust, you take the leap from trust to obedience. So the next part is, I don't know what you call it, twig, smaller branch. There's only two more, okay? So you've got your big branch, and then you can write the word twig or smaller branch. If anybody knows the typical term, go for it. Technical term, not typical. I suppose typical is twig. Thanks, Amber, for laughing at my jokes. You gotta have somebody planted who laughs. But she wasn't planted. God put her here because I trusted him. So you go from trusting to obeying. Like I said, as I pointed to Lisa, the obedience part, will you quit your job because God's calling you to something else or whatever happens, you know, I don't know what happens. But once we find that God is trustworthy, it makes obeying easier. It doesn't make it less scary though, does it? Because you're still thinking about those things. What if this God? What if that God? What if this? What if that? My husband's the missions pastor here, and a lot of times there's wives who are really scared to let their husbands go overseas. I don't know if it's just because I was raised where my dad was going overseas a lot and traveling, and so I don't really fear that way. I think, well, God's going to bring them back safely, da-da-da-da-da. But there are some wives who are so scared to let their husbands be that far. You know, because it's scary. And what if this happens? And what if they get Ebola? And, you know, what if we get Ebola? We could get Ebola here. Anyway, not to scare anybody. Maybe I have Ebola. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I kept telling my husband. I'm like, I probably have Ebola virus. It's fine. But obeying can be scary because there are those steps along the way. We're human, right? Because we're thinking about the what ifs and what if this and what if that. My daughter wants to, she just started volunteering at a horse place for a program with people who are disabled. And Connie, if you don't know, Connie was injured in a horse accident. And she came up to me and she said, so how are you feeling about all this? And I was like, well, should I just have my daughter come and talk to you? Because it scares the daylights out of me to have my daughter be on a horse. And she wanted me to go to the stables with her. And I was like, oh, I don't have time. So I finally went to the stables, and these horses are beautiful. They really are. You can't get past the fact, even if you don't like horses, you can't get past the fact that they are just gorgeous. I mean, they're majestic almost. I mean, they're so royal and just muscular, and just every bit of them is just really beautiful. Well, we're walking along and she's showing me how you're supposed to pet a horse appropriately, because I've never really been around horses. Well, we walk up to this one and I was like, oh, no, no. I mean, his shoulders were like up here. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, she can ride a horse. To like, she's going to ride that horse, you know? And it really scared me. But what I've been realizing lately is that, and I know this, but God is showing me now, because my kids are almost 12 and 13. So they're at the age where we need to start giving them little bits of freedom as they get older. And it's making me realize how much my children are not mine and they are God's. And I try to tell them all the time, I'm like, babe, you have to remember, my job your entire life has been to keep you alive. And now I'm giving you freedom in places where I can't see you every second. Like the first time I signed them into junior high class, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't sign you in or out. I don't know what you were doing in there. Like, blah, blah, blah. And they just come and find me. And now it's the best thing in the world, because I don't have to rush to go get them. But my point is that the Lord was giving her this open door. And I needed to trust that he's looking after her. And it might not seem like a really big deal to you guys. To me, it's a really big deal for me to leave my daughter somewhere around people that I don't know all of them, and I don't know their whole story, and I'm not going to be there to watch her every second. So I need to obey and trust that the Lord is looking out for her, and that this could be a really awesome opportunity for her. Do you see how that's not really a spiritual thing? It's just like, should I let my daughter be involved in this activity or not? But I love the way that God is involved in every single aspect. It could be he wants you to plant a church, or it could be that he wants you to start an exercise program, or start, I don't know, something that seems very unspiritual. The Lord can use that to grow you up in him and to reach out to other people and be a light. And I start thinking, oh my gosh, my little Emmy could be a light at this horse place, because she loves to serve and she loves Jesus. So that's my latest act of obedience, allowing her to be part of this thing, sitting there for a few hours because I'm not ready to leave her there yet, which makes me crazy because I'm like, I have so many things I have to do. But the Lord is teaching me through that and watching her learn. I'm just so excited for her. So think about Abraham walking up that hill. It's scary for me to leave my daughter at a horse place. But Abraham's walking up a hill with his son and a knife. You think about the fact that he had absolutely no idea what was going to happen, but he obeyed God. Now, understand, this is not blind obedience. It's proven trustworthiness. So when you talk to somebody who's not saved and they're like, why are you doing that? Or why would you quit your job? Or why would you move there? And you say, because I just trust God. To them, that might sound like blind obedience, right? Okay, so you just trust and you just hope it's going to get better. Okay, whatever. I prefer to live my life knowing what's going to happen. It's important for us to let them know, you know what? He's never let me down before. And he's not going to now. You know that song, Oceans, that says you've never failed and you won't start now. God's track record is going to be the same through the rest of your life. There's not going to be this spot where he just dropped you and then was like, oh, sorry, I thought you were with us the whole time. It's not like a kid that he accidentally left at Disneyland, you know? I've had friends who have forgotten kids before. I'm like, your child's here. What? My child's there? You know. But the fact is that it's not blind obedience. God has proven himself to us. So we can trust that he is not going to let us go, that his plan has not changed. His plan, the scripture says, has always been to draw us to himself. His unchanging plan. No matter what you've done or where you've gone or where you've fallen, that is his unchanging plan. You can't change it. He is going to draw you to himself. and he's walking with you. So it's not blind obedience. Remember that. You're not just blindly obeying and hoping. You're basing your trust on his past track record. And that when you've obeyed him, hasn't he shown up? And the things that are the most scary to obey the Lord in, that's where you see the most reward sometimes. And you come out and you're like, oh my gosh, Lord, seriously, are you kidding me? I know that those are the times in my life when I've said, okay, Lord, I don't get it, I don't see it, but I trust you. I trust your word. I don't trust in the people that are around me. I trust in you. And knowing that he'll guide you along the way. Have you guys ever had to disobey having no idea what was happening or what was going to happen? It could be anything. Maybe it's a relationship that you stayed in when you really, really, really wanted to leave. But God called you to stay, and all your friends called you crazy. I had a friend whose husband was just awful. Not physically, but awful. And the Lord was telling her to stay and work it out and try. And all of her friends who were not safe thought she was crazy. But all she could tell them was, I just really feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. And now, unfortunately, things didn't end up the way that we all would have liked. But she was able to be an example to her friends to say, I did everything that I could possibly do. Because not all marriages end up staying together. Not all marriages get back together. But if you are doing what God has led you to do at that very moment, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks you're supposed to do. And that's all you're accountable for, is obeying him, right? That's all you're accountable for, is that one moment. Doesn't matter what he thinks, doesn't matter what your friends think, your family, it matters what God thinks. Am I making sense? Okay, good. Just always like to make sure I'm making sense. And can I just, if you are listening to me saying, have you ever had to obey God and do something scary? And you're like, well, you know, nothing really scary. Can I encourage you that maybe God is calling you to do something right now and you're scared and you're trying to push it off? Like, well, that can't be what God's asking me to do. Could it be because you haven't heeded his voice, his desire to do something really, really big in your life? Because right now, I can tell you that there's no one on this earth now or ever who will be a completely trustworthy person. There's just not. The only one in your entire life that you can trust is God. His promises are true that he will lead you. He will guide you. He will give you vision. He will give you passion. He'll give you a future and a hope. He will give you a new heart with new desires. He will give you all he has promised if you would just obey. Think about all you will miss out on if you don't obey. Don't think about the fear at the moment. But I'll be really scared and maybe this and maybe that. But maybe God will do something really amazing that you will get to celebrate, and then you will get to tell others, and they will get to celebrate with you. And guess what? You will encourage them to do what you just did. And what an amazing church that will be if we can all live so boldly for the Lord. Right? Does it give you chills to think about that? Like if we were all saying, you know what? I obeyed the Lord. I had no clue what the outcome was going to be. But oh my gosh, look at what he did in my life. Don't you want to be able to say that? Don't you want to be able to celebrate your God to other people so they can in turn celebrate him because of what he's done in their life? Because guess what? They have somebody else in their life that you don't even know that needs to hear what God's going to do in their life. And they're not going to be able to do that if they don't get to hear what he did in your life. Do you see? I'm just going to visualize really quick. It's like a chain that never ends. So if I can be obedient to the Lord and trust him and believe in what he says and have the faith to say, I am going to do this one thing right now because it's what God has called me to do. Do it. I tell people all the time who are going through struggles in their marriages or whatever, if they come and ask me, I'm like, if you're not doing it for yourself, think about that one person who needs your story. Because someday down the road, there's going to be somebody who's going to need to hear it from somebody who's been there and has come out the other side. Haven't you gotten so encouraged by people in your life who have gone through the same exact thing as you? Or do you like to hear from people who haven't had anything like what's happened in your life? Thank you so much. I'm glad you had a perfect life. Thank you for your advice. God, nobody's had a perfect life, but sometimes you feel like in comparison, like, I don't know that we're living in the same sort of struggles. But my point is, it's a chain reaction. It's this long thread that God wants you to be a part of. Why would you not want to be a part of something that God has planned? Okay, now on to the fruit. So draw a fruit. It can be whatever you want. It can be an orange. It can be an avocado if you're really hungry for an avocado, which just made me want chips and guacamole. Verses 23 to 24. Now, this wonderful truth that God declared him to be righteous wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was for us too, assuring us that God will also declare us to be righteous if we believe in God who brought Jesus our Lord back from the dead. He was handed over, I'm going to keep going, to die for our, because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. See, God rewards our faith. The thing that started it all, our faith. Our tree is now complete. Just in case you wonder if you need any more room, your tree is now complete. Our first fruit is that righteousness. And then we get the residuals. Whatever it is that the Lord has planned for us, first we reap the fruit of righteousness. And I want you to think of this righteousness like this, being right before a God that we have no right to stand before. I'm going to say that again. Righteousness is being right before a God that we have no right to stand before. Because without Jesus' sacrifice, we have no right to be in God's presence, correct? Because in his presence, there can be no evil, right? Am I speaking correctly? Yes, y'all are with me? But because of Jesus, we get to be right before God. Not because we read our Bible today. Not because we witnessed to that person at the pier. Not because we led worship. Not because of anything. Not because we walked up a mountain with our son and a knife because God told us to. Because the scripture just told us that it doesn't matter what Abraham did. It matters what he believed, right? When we believe, we do the things God wants us to do. Can you see the difference? So we can do a million things for a good cause or for whatever and not do them for God. And that's not what God wants from us. Those are all fine and good, but they're not for him, right? Have you ever done things in your life for other people just for because it makes you feel good? I have. I know when I wasn't walking with the Lord, I never wanted to volunteer so much in my life. I wanted to do all these good works and do all these good things because I needed to feel better about myself. And of course, I do want to volunteer now. I'm not saying I don't want to still do good things, but it's for a different reason because I know that God has called me to it. So our faith causes us to believe everything that God says. Our believing him causes us to trust him. When we trust him, we'll obey him. And when we obey him, he will bring fruit and make us right before a God that we have no right to stand before because our sin completely separated us from him. There was no way that we could be right before him. And I'm so glad that he wiped that away. I told my husband the other day, I was talking about, you know, something that I was struggling with in my own life that I felt was separating me from God. And we all struggle from that, right? It's not like you got saved, you're a teacher now, you teach God's word, you lead worship, and you never have sin between you and God anymore. No, 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 no. I've always looked at it as a wall. But the other day as I was talking to my husband, the Lord gave me a different picture that it's more like headphones. Because he's speaking, he's speaking, he's speaking. But I've got my headphones on. I'm listening to other voices and other things. That sin is separating me from him, that where he's standing there and he's talking to me, but I'm choosing to keep my headphones on. Does that make sense? You ever feel that way, that you're doing that? You're listening to those other voices? So one last word. Because of faith, we are righteous. God's righteousness levels the playing field. and makes us all equal. Equal in sin, equal in righteousness. So we get to be just as right in God's eyes as Abraham was. I'm just going to give you a minute to think about that. I call this a comfortable silence. Not an awkward silence. Because Romans 3:23, what does it say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My version says, all have sinned, but because of Jesus, we are declared not guilty. I'll say it again. All have sinned, but because of Jesus, we are declared not guilty. I like it that way because it reminds me that I was guilty. Because I didn't grow up struggling with faith. I grew up struggling with this, feeling not guilty. And I have to tell you, ladies, that whenever I'm about to speak on something, and I'm sure you've heard many people who speak say this, whatever you're teaching on, that's what God is teaching you. And I can encourage people up and down about how the Lord loves them despite their sin and he sees them as pure. But when it comes to me really believing that about myself, that's a hard one for me. I will still see myself as dirty hands and having this sin between me and God. But these verses, Romans 4:7-8, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. If we confess, correct? If we've come to the Lord and given him everything. I struggle with the fact that I'm right in God's eyes. I struggle with the fact that I am righteous. I can't say I've never, but I don't really have a struggle with feeling like I'm so much more righteous than Lisa. I probably read more today than she ever has. Probably not because she writes the studies, but because she's righteous. No, I'm just kidding. That's not something that I have struggled with. Like I said, I struggle with not feeling worthy myself. That may be something that you don't struggle with, but maybe you struggle in another area. I needed to be reminded of this, that I am right before a God that I have no right to stand in front of because of Jesus. So without faith, we will not believe. And if we don't believe, we can't have trust. If we don't trust, we won't obey. And if we don't obey, we can't receive anything from God. If I don't obey, I can't receive anything from God. So I want us to pray that God would fill us with this overflowing of faith, this overflowing that causes us to believe and trust and take that leap and obey. And I know that whenever the Lord has something be spoken, that there's somebody here who needs to hear that today. And it could just be one of you that needs to hear, have faith. Because from faith, do you see how your tree grew? And that without all those components together, you can't see, it would have been so much better if I could have drawn it. So envision me as a tree. No, I'm just kidding. Without all those components, the roots, the trunk, I would love to do a study on trees sometime and see how they all go together and what cannot be present without the other. But I kept looking out at my lemon tree. I have this lemon tree. It's like this tall. It's so short. I don't understand. But it does not stop producing lemons, and I don't do anything for it. So that's not a very good analogy, but it has. I leave it, I neglect it, and it produces fruit. But roots into the trunk, into the branches. And I was looking out at the smaller branches that those lemons grow on. And they're smaller, and I kind of envisioned myself like that's like the Lord asking me to like go out on a tightrope. When I've been really comfortable on this one branch, this big, thicker branch. But you got to go out there to get the fruit. Does that make sense? So I want to pray for all of us that the Lord would give us that faith, that we would believe that he means what he says, that he is trustworthy, that if we obey him, he will bring fruit in our lives, and that we're right in his eyes. Let that stick with you, because this stuck with me. This was like straight from the Lord. Righteousness is being right before a God that we have no right to stand before. Let that stick with you. you are righteous because of Jesus, not because you did all these good things, just like Abraham. He's righteous before God, not because of all the things he did, but because he believed God. And I want to leave that kind of a legacy. I want people to remember me that way. If I go out and I die in a car accident today, I want people to remember she believed God. And that made her do all these other things. Not she did all these other things. No, I don't want that. I want she had faith in God. And it led her to do these other things for him and because of him. Make sense? Let's pray. God, we come before you, Lord, and I thank you for your son's sacrifice. I thank you for your sacrifice, having him die because of our sins in my place. I thank you that it makes us right and able to stand before you and able to read your word and understand it, be able to come before you in worship and not be rejected because we're not clean. Lord, I thank you that because of you, we have this ability to trust you, to believe you, to obey you, Lord. And I thank you for the rewards that you bring in our lives that are so undeserved. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to start seeing ourselves through your eyes, seeing ourselves the way that you see us, Lord, because we falter and we fail and we don't have faith. But Lord, would you remind us today to have faith in the things that we're going to face even in the next hour, Lord. Help us to remember that you are trustworthy. Your track record has proven that we can trust you no matter what, no matter how big or small the problem is, Lord. You are trustworthy. So Lord, would you lead us and guide us and let us have that tree of faith grow richly in our lives, Lord, and just overflow with fruit because all the other components are there. So Lord, I pray that you would go before these women as they get into their small groups, God. Give them wisdom in the words they speak with one another. Help them to be honest and open about where they are and what they desire from you, Lord. And I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.